Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will be joining in just a second. Well, the Vikes got the job done offensively. Sure was looking like slim pickings early. That's for damn sure. But anyway, we got the job done. The Vikings, 27, the Detroit Lions. The roar has not been restored. Put up 9 points, and really only one good drive where they actually scored points on, anyway, I should say, drive-wise. Thank God for our defense. But we are kind of post-game, a handful of hours, about five hours after the victory. Thank goodness the Vikings win. They got the job done, but it felt like just barely for a long part of that game. We are going to break down the game, play by play, second by – no, I'm just kidding. But we are going to break down the game, the Lions game. Like I said, it started ugly for the offense, but they kicked it in high gear. The defense stepped up again. They came to play again, per usual. A variety of, you know, people pitched in, no doubt about it. So we'll talk about the offense and defense, a variety of things there. We did have a couple of injuries that may stand out. Hopefully, we can get by that. We did have a couple of those, that's for sure. So it's coming down to the Chicago game, man. It really is. It really is. It's going to come all the way down to the Chicago game. Aaron and I, before we came on, minutes before we came on live here, we were talking about the scenarios, and I was, you know, taking a look at the standings and just kind of figuring it out. Obviously, Washington lost on Saturday. Philly ended up winning at the buzzer. So we'll definitely talk this playoff picture. I do think if Philly loses, we would be in. But we'll get into that. But we really can't even think about that stuff. We have to beat the Bears. And also the Bears, you know, if the Rams lose, can the Bears sneak up on them? How much do they have to play for? And I believe we're going to get some of that answered before we get on out of here. So we'll start with that Lions game recap. Of course, we're going to talk about the game next week somehow. Some way, if Khalil Mack could not play, that would be wonderful. I don't think that's going to be the case. But, man, when he doesn't play, they are a different team. And just what he's brought, especially defensively, obviously, to that team. So we'll talk, you know, we're going to preview that game, predict it. It's early, but we are going to predict it. We're assuming that it gets flexed, you'd assume. We're going to recap. Preview and predict, go over a variety of brainstormers and just different topics. And then, you know, like we have per usual, we'll have a little bit of Minnesota Gopher football segment, talking a little bit of recruiting there with PJ Fleck and Du Bois. We understand that this is a Vikings podcast, though, so that's why we save that stuff to the bitter end, okay? So don't lose us just yet, okay? Well, we're going to talk Gophers, but that's way way deep in the podcast. So anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live. It archives right there. You can also subscribe to the Rope It Over Radio podcast. You know, that's the umbrella for the Purple People Eaters podcast. Anywhere, iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn is a really good outlet as well. We get a lot of hits from there. We get a lot of listens. And just in general, we'd like to definitely thank all our listeners out there, whether it's, you know, stateside or abroad, Canada, bigs up to Canada, of course. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, and that can be found everywhere, including streaming on iHeartRadio and Spotify. So you can listen to the Purple People Eaters podcast in a variety of different places. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net? That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great, you know, they got great articles over there, whether it's football, basketball, boxing, a little bit of baseball. They got it all over there. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net, read an article. I write for college football, college basketball, and boxing over there, prediction articles. You can listen to the podcast right there as well. You don't even really have to go subscribe anywhere else. You can listen to the podcast right at thegruelingtruth.net. And by the way, they got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. You can link it right from that website to mybookie.ag and place a bet. And speaking of bets, let's put some money down on our Vikings next week. How do we feel? How do we feel? I really hope they get in, man. And obviously we were hoping, my co-host and I, as I bring him in at this moment, we were really hoping that, you know, Washington and Philly would lose because that would set up a perfect scenario. Well, not perfect. I mean, this isn't really a perfect scenario and a perfect situation and a perfect season or anything like that when push comes to shove. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I think there's still options to get in. We could lose and get in potentially, but we now know we pretty much got to win to get in. I think there is some tweaks there, but let's start by breaking this game down. Now we move to 8-6-1 on the season with, as we know, one game left. But, Aaron, when you're, you know, watching this game and the first four possessions are three and outs, a totaling 4 yards because of the negative yardage, of course. So you had 4 3 and outs. You know, thank God, thank goodness that our defense came to play early. They were helping us out. Like I said, they really only had that, what was it, 9-play, 21-yard drive. And, well, they did have an 8-play, 36-yard drive, too. They had field position going. You know, we didn't. The Vikings definitely didn't. However, okay, so you are getting, you know, backed up in your own territory. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, pick up a first down or two to try to, you know, balance some of that out so they're not starting that, you know, near midfield. So that was quite frustrating, man. You know, there was when we did get a play, I think there was two different plays where you're like, okay, that was a nice pickup. One of them was Cook. All of a sudden, you know, flag holding is like, oh, here we go. So we had bad field position, 4-3 and outs, early penalties on the offensive line. I think Rudolph had one too. And here you are, 9-0 with 4 minutes left in the quarter. I mean, we'll talk offense in a second, but the defense as well early on, that thing could have got ugly, Aaron. Thank goodness that one side of the ball came to play.
Yeah, it really could have got ugly. Defense did play really, really well. Holding them to field goals, I thought it was really important. Obviously, a game like that where you can't get anything coming from your offense, like you said, 4 yards with 4 minutes left to go in the first half was pretty ugly as far as that was concerned. It's hard to tell really what to blame that on. You know, the offensive line wasn't getting a lot of push as usual, and it just seemed like Detroit came out and schemed pretty well to what we wanted to do caused us to make adjustments, and maybe we were slow in doing that. But, yeah, defense played really, really well all game. Eric Wilson came in and played really well for Kendricks. I was a little bit worried about that just because Kendricks is always a mainstay in there with 10 or more tackles every game. So having him out I thought might be more of an issue, but it really wasn't. Eric Wilson came in and played really well. I thought the secondary held up extremely well. Rhodes gave up a few things, but, you know, it was to Golladay. Really all their offensive that the Lions had at all was Golladay. And eventually that got shut down too, so another sterling performance from the Vikings defense.
Like I said, thank goodness that they're around. I had my mute on there for a second. I'm all talking to myself. I'm like, wait a second. What the hell is going on? But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Wilson is someone that I definitely highlighted as well. Eric Wilson came in, and a couple other people shine. The other linebacker, too, starts with a G. Help me out here.
Ben Gideon.
Ben Gideon. You know, he made it. Yeah. I mean, I think them two actually led the team in tackles. And it wasn't like, you know, sometimes the cornerbacks lead, unless you're Winfield or something. Usually you don't want to lead the team in tackles for a game because that means you may have been getting picked on, potentially anyway. But I say obviously Winfield because, you know, he was a linebacker out there as well. He used to – you couldn't even throw a screen pass his way, let alone try to run over there just in general. But, yeah, thank God for that defense, man. And what was going through your mind? Like, all right, dude, it's only 9-0. Let's just get something before the half. You know, did you feel – I still felt pretty good watching it in a sense because you knew we weren't going to keep going, you know, three and out. And the fact that it was only 9-0, all we needed to do is get on the board, and we would have been okay.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that it was going to be, you know, that it wasn't always going to be offensive frustration. I kind of anticipated that might continue. What was going through my mind was trying to figure out exactly what Detroit was doing to cause this, or was that something that we were doing? And I really couldn't see anything. I think they just came out a little flat, and you know, Kirk is you watch a lot of other teams around the league and you see a little bit more fire out of a quarterback and out of an offense in general. And it just didn't see that coming out in the first half. And I don't know if it was, you know, maybe the holiday blues or something like that, you know, kind of holding them up a little bit, but they had to get it going and thank God they did. They got the little touchdown there to get down in the half, and then obviously there's a big play to Rudolph, which really seemed to spark everybody and get them back into the game. But, you know, you got to look at that sort of as a lucky play, and they're lucky they had it. They would have been, 10-9, I think, starting the third quarter. And that's not a good situation you want to put yourself in, especially when you go down to Detroit and, you know, they're not playing well. And they got a lot of guys out, and they're not playing for anything. And, you know, you go almost scoreless in the first half. I mean, that's really tough to take. So I was pretty frustrated during that first half until we started to see Cook pick up a little bit, get a little bit more run going, and then start to work off the play action. But, yeah, it was a little hairy and thought maybe, you know, that might continue throughout the rest of the game. I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah, and I definitely wasn't we're gonna really put it down here in the second half. But I just kind of looking at that scoreboard, going, dude, you know, we just got to get something going before the end of the half. And you know, coaches, they love the double dip. We talked about this like midseason. He always makes a big deal about it when we double dip Zimmer. We double dip. You can maybe say we triple dip. If you think about it, I mean, we had two scores before the end of the half, but it was just nice. Like you said, Cook, you started, you know, seeing him kind of break a tackle, then break another one, pick up a nice 5-6 yard gash. It was like, all right, considering we could have been down pretty damn bad there, pretty wide at the half. It was 9-0. And with 4 minutes left, and they had that nice drive, like you said, they got it to Diggs on the. I mean, they got it to Rudolph as well. Diggs ended up getting that. I remember there was a 3rd and 17, that we got a first down on to Thielen, and that was a big, big play because Cousins had to actually evade, got outside the pocket, not just rolling him out, but he was forced outside there. And that was nice to see because that is something that, you know, we've been kind of on him a little bit where you can roll out when it's all planned, but that wasn't planned. He did get away and still made the, you know, the toss. So that was big. It was 3rd and 17, needed that. But yeah, that eight play, 69 yards, it was like, okay, dude, it's 9-7. Just don't let anything stupid happen. You know, like, let's just get in there. And, you know, maybe the other side was thinking that too a little bit, or at least don't let anything stupid happen, because sure enough, something stupid happened. Our defense held them, got it back, and just chucked that thing up there. And, you know, the whole knock it down, make sure you're in front and the side and the back. You want to cover everybody there. And he just kind of, Rudolph just kind of nonchalantly said, well, I'm going to go get it. I mean, there's nobody around here. I might as well just jump up and grab this rebound. I don't even know if he fully jumped as high as he could. It was just one of those plays where it's right before half. I'm looking. Yes. And everyone around me was just kind of like, yeah, we did. We got it. Okay. Wait a second. How in the hell are we up 14-9? Considering, you know, really, really, really poor play for up until 4 minutes, like I said, on the offensive side. But to double dip and come out and have that steady drive, I thought that was key too. Obviously, when you get up 14-9, the Lions locker room must have been like, what the hell just happened? But then to get up 17-9, have a 6-minute drive, 11 play, 69 yards, I really felt good at that point, like, okay, guys, the defense is here. We know that. We know they're probably going to try to get rid of the ball overall. And, you know, of course, we you know, I was all happy and pumped up. But then again, our next possession, we had a 3-and-out. There was a 4th-and-1 moment there, and I thought, are they going to go for this 4th-and-1? They've been aggressive. Luckily, they didn't. Our defense did after that field goal to go up 17-9. Our defense held them to back-to-back 3-and-outs, and it was -1 yards on 2, you know, total in those drives. Then we came with that touchdown drive, 9 plays, 53 yards, and that's when you started to see Rudolph more and more get into the pitcher. And also Cook, like you said, Cook got it cooking again. I mean, this guy is just – when he's now – basically all the way back from his injury. It really feels like that, or damn near. Next year, I think we'll even see maybe another little burst, because they always say it takes a good full year to play and then come back year and a half, almost 2 years, to be 100%, unless you're an alien like, you know, Adrian Peterson. But that's a whole different thing. But the second half, the hard running and getting that tight end open, and man, I mean, Rudolph had one of his games he's had as a Viking, and it actually was, let's see here, 9 catches. What was his stats? Is 9 catches for 2 touchdowns as well. Yeah, 9 catches, buck 22, averaging 13.6 a clip. Had that 44 yarder, of course, 2 touchdowns. We hadn't had a performance from the tight end since 2008, December 21st, 2008, Vishante had a buck 36. That was the last time we went even near those numbers as far as catches and yards. So that was big. And you know, it's nice. That is one thing that, you know, Rudolph has had some good games, solid games here and there. But that's one thing with the coach flip, it just didn't seem – like they were all the way on the same page when it came to the tight end game. And obviously, it's still only 2 games into this new coordinator. I'm not trying to sit there and say Flip is a bum coach or anything like that. I mean, he's probably going to be a head coach. I'm almost positive he'll be a head coach in general. Just the way he delivers, you know, it represents himself to the media, actually, when he talks. And he just has this professionalism about him that just does wonders, you know, in the interviewing process. Whereas the opposite, you know, maybe Zimmer will turn out to be a, you know, overall better coach than him, you know, we'll see. as far as a head coach, because he's got to get a head coaching job first, because so many people talked about Flip forever. But to me, it took Zimmer a long time to get a coaching job, because he has his personality is just, it's just like a saltine cracker. You know what I mean? It's just, there's not much there. Once you get used to it and all that, but as far as the interview process, that's just funny how that works out. But I just like that we kept pressing, the run. We didn't go over the top, but we kept pressing the run. I think he got up to 16 or 17 carries, which is a whole lot. We hit the 100-yard mark. We did get, some big boy Murray in there as well. He had a couple of nice runs and bounced off a couple of, defenders and whatnot. But then we really just closed it out. I think it was 24-9 the first time around. This time it was 27-9. And I was really impressed, Aaron, how they closed it out. Defense, we knew they were coming. I mean, when you just look at it, three play, -4. They got a couple of 8 plays, but still only 24 yards. 4 plays, -1. 4 plays, 4 yards. It was just, we came together as a team, much like we did last week all together. But it was just nice to, once you got that 17-9 lead, to just keep the pedal to the metal like we've talked about before. It was nice to close out as an overall team. And that's something that we've been missing against a good team. Not to say the Lions are a good team.
You're right. They did close the game out well. And, I thought they did a good job in the second half. After they took the lead, our defense really needs the lead. Be nice if they could come out and get that lead a little bit sooner like they did last week. But once they had the lead, you pretty much can say it's over, especially, you're playing the Lions, like you said. So they did a good job. A few three and outs, a lot of punts. I thought they did good overcoming some penalties in the second half. Especially that one drive, I think was like the ninth drive of the game. They were holding Colin Remmers, and then an iffy block in the back penalty to Diggs on a completion to, I believe, Thielen, or it was a run by Cook, I think, something like that. They called it back, and then we went ahead and scored to make it 24-9 on that drive. I thought that was huge. And then just to kind of play good defense, get some pass rush, and finish out the game, like you said, in a professional way where there was really no chance. And, you get a lead. I really feel like this defense is lights out, and it doesn't have to be a big lead. I'd say a 7-point lead, and they'll go ahead and take it from there, but you got to jump out and you got to get that lead. And I think that's something that, the defense played really well, but they were in tough short fields in the first half. And, those field goals were about as the best ending to those drives that you could possibly imagine, starting off in their own territory in defending. So I thought that overall, like I said, the defense is going to carry us if we go forward, and they're doing a good job of it right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We'll take this anytime. Like you said, those field goals were definitely like, it wasn't like they were bending. You know what I mean? Maybe one of them they bent a little bit, but not much. And it didn't matter because they didn't break. 4-16 on third down. The Vikes held the Lions to that. 223 overall as far as yardage, which is pretty crazy. They had some runs in the first chunk of the game. They did get to 86, but it was on 23 carries. And 43 times they aired it out, Aaron. 23 of 43 for 137 yards. If our quarterback or anybody other quarterback has that kind of game, you just go, really, dude? 43 times you threw the ball? 23 is not a good completion number. It's 50, or not a little more than 50. It's not that horrible, but it's not good. And a 137 out of that. Now, although you could say, a couple of the penalties were questionable, I'm glad that you brought that one out for sure. We had 11 penalties. That's too much. But, God, we only ran 58 plays compared to 69 for them. And that kind of plays out to how this damn game started. It was just an ugly start there. But, Cousins had a nice game, 21 of 28, 253, 3 touchdowns. Obviously, that one, 44-yarder, that was pretty nice. He put the ball where it needed to be, I guess. But Rudolph, man, had a big game. And Thielen was just steady, 5 catches, 80 yards. Like I said, he had that big one. He had a long of 40 yards on that nice little play there. So, you know, Diggs didn't really make an impact, but, you know, he got that touchdown. That was about it. He only had 2 catches. Cook also added a third. You know, I liked what I saw out of Harrison Smith. We talked, you mentioned Wilson, talked about the other linebackers. That's 9 and 8 tackles right there. Yeah, man, it was just a good, you know, all-purpose win once our, you know, offense showed up to play. But, yeah, it did kind of feel like, man, we're really going to lose it. Like, the way this season goes, when you think of what you have on your team and your potential, you should be a playoff team, even if our offensive line isn't up to snuff. You still are just like, oh, my God, are we really going to come out this flat? And you're right, we came out flat as a flat tire. It was just ridiculous. I just couldn't believe it. Anything else you want to cover when it comes to, you know, this game here? Any other kind of little note that you wanted to bring up or anything like that? We didn't really get a chance to talk before the show. Kind of had to rush the start to this show. Anything else, sir, that you'd like to talk about before we move on to other stuff?
No, I think we covered most of this game, and we got to kind of put it in the rearview mirror anyway. We got a big game coming up here on Sunday with the Bears. You know, it's going to be a tough matchup, and looking at it, I'm kind of breaking down what I think and what I don't think about this Bears game. And a lot of things aren't working our way. Like you said, Houston kind of let us down today. Couldn't finish off that game against Philadelphia. So Philadelphia comes on, and now they're nipping at our heels. Got Seattle playing right now. And so if things aren't, and then now they're going to flex this game. I'm a little worried about that because, we don't play real well at night or on national TV, so we'll see what they flex it to. They might flex it to the afternoon game. They might flex
it
to the night game. We don't know.
Not to cut you off. I just saw it right now. Yep, 3:25 Central Time. They officially flexed it.
Okay, well, that's better. I can live with that a little bit more than a Sunday night football game or something like that. It just we don't play well in those type of games, so I'm happy if they got to flex it. I think we got the best flex that we could get out of that. You know, breaking down this Chicago game, Chris, you know, it's a lot like that last game. We'll be playing at home this time, though, which should be a nice crowd with all the stuff that's on the line. Should be a good home field advantage, you would think, as far as noise is concerned. But, you know, we've got to contain Mitch Trubisky from running. We can't let him run. Got to do a lot of max protection from our offensive line. I think we're going to see a lot of extra linemen or two tight ends, maybe even three tight ends. Got to run the ball well. Cook's got to run the ball well. Murray's got to run the ball well. We've got to have an effective run or threat of the run. Can't turn the ball over. Got to keep short passing game, get the ball out of our hands. And you know, unless we can get a lead, if we can get a lead, we can start to open up a little bit. But we're going to have to play pretty conservative offensively. And that shouldn't be too much of a problem. We've been doing it all year. It's just being effective and executing at that. You know, we got to start fast, man. If we can start fast, get 7, maybe 14-point lead, maybe even a 10-point lead, that really puts us in a better spot with our defense being able to come at Trubisky a little bit more. It's going to be a rough one, man, but I think, you know, all the different scenarios, you got to figure, okay, well, are they going to come to play? I think they're going to come to play. They've got the seeding up in the air for them, and, you know, we've got to play well and win. I don't know what the scenarios have, and you might, but, you know, how we could still get in with a loss, is that possible, and how that's possible? Are you up to speed on that or not?
I'm up to speed on that. Right now it's 10-7. KC is up, but it's first and goal with Seattle. So they're going to probably score something here. Well, let's break down the game before we – let's not jump all the way in the playoff scenario if we're going to be in the middle of breaking down this game.
I just wanted to break it down to see, like, if we – okay, so let me see if I can articulate this well. We got to play the Bears, and most likely we'll have to play the Bears again. if we can have the comfort of losing this game, then maybe we cannot show the Bears everything we want to show them and going into that third game with them. So going, that's part of why I brought it up, talking about the game, is how we're going to approach it as opposed to how the Bears are going to approach it. Now, at this point, from my knowledge and what I know right now, we're going to have to play all out, you know, pedal to the metal, show them everything to win this game. If there's a scenario where we don't have to win and still make the playoffs, which is rare,
Scenario would be Philly.
But,
that scenario would be Philly.
Okay.
If Philadelphia,
but Philly's got a pretty easy game.
Philly's 8-7 right now. We're 8-6-1.
Mm-hmm.
So if we lose and they win, that's a half game they got us on. So they got us. But if they lose, they would be 8-8. So then we'd be 8-7-1 if we lost.
Sure.
So therefore, it would come down to Philly. Philly
so
playing Washington,
Philly,
and that's why that Washington Philly thing was always kind of, we always knew they were going to play each other. So that would, someone was going to take a L there, regardless, or a tie, I suppose, right? that's part of that too. And then we would have beat Philly straight up, so that would have helped too. Now they're playing, just to add more layers and answer your question, they're playing at 325 as well. So that stuff's off the table. That stuff's off the table.
Sure.
And that's the way the league likes to do it. You know, they like to, we're going to play them at the same time. There's no, that way everybody's playing. It's really up to Chicago. What Chicago team are we going to get? They're sitting at 11-4. The Rams are sitting at 12-3. If the Rams, who are playing, I believe, the Niners, let me double check on that. They're playing the Niners at 325. You see what I'm saying? So the Bears are gonna want to try to win regardless. Now there could be a, like we were saying, the preseason thing, like that third preseason game, that important one, right? Where they play like three and a half quarters, or they play two and a half quarters, I should say. And then if your offense is sucking shit, maybe they'll make you play a little bit more. And if you're playing really good, maybe you'll just play that one drive of the third, and then they'll pull you, something like that. That's what it, that potentially, I guess, you could see some of that from the Bears. If they're seeing, let's say they're seeing, they just look up at the scorecard or scoreboard, and it's, the Rams are just smashing the Niners or something. And then they're like, well, they're going to win, so we can't move up. Let's pull. We could see that. We potentially could see that. Philly would have to lose. That's our scenario. We could lose, but Philly would have to lose. And then it would basically play out potentially like it did today, where you're like, okay, so what's going on? Switch to the Philly game, if we were to lose. So that's the scenario there. So
yeah,
they're coming.
Philly's unlikely.
They're bringing everything.
Philly's unlikely to lose. Sure. And
right.
Philly's unlikely
Bears,
to lose. So we had to.
And the Bears,
so we have to assume that.
Anyway. The Bears are bringing it. They're bringing it to win.
Sure.
Is what it comes down to.
Right. So if the Bears are bringing it to win, then we got to bring it to win. And so I was just hoping that maybe, possibly, and I didn't realize it was just the Eagles involved in this, because the Seattle game has some importance. I mean, if Seattle loses tonight, anyways, moving forward, I think that we got to play defensively. The secondary has to play well in coverage, and they got to tackle well. Can't let Cohen break tackles, things like that. It's got to be that. We've got to create some turnovers if possible. We need defensive points if we can get some. Biggest key defensively to me is stop the run and make Trubisky beat you. You've got to do that. If you can do that, I think we got a good shot to win this game. Although it will be tough, it's going to be a home game. So, I'm hoping that a little home field advantage as far as the crowd and the officials is in play. It's just one of those games that we kind of saw all season, didn't we, Chris, that this is kind of what it was going to come down to. And what do you know? Here it is.
Yep. And we've had these must wins right before. Today was a must win. We've had other must wins. We've played five teams, with a winning, well, technically, yeah. The five, basically, those you know, I say the five losses, but we have, you know, that Bills game. But the five times where we had a chance, you know, the Dolphins, that was a winning team, but now they're not a winning team because we beat them. You know what I mean? So they're back to 500. So it's one of those things where a top-level team, every time we stepped into the place with it, you know, that position, we screwed it up somehow. And you're right, man. This is what it's coming all the way down to this. It's one of the hottest teams because you can make an argument the Rams, well, not an argument. The Rams have come back to earth a little bit. I mean, you could see them out in the cold. They didn't like that shit in Chicago. So they're coming back down to earth. And, you know, yeah, it is. I mean, this is it. We have to finally beat a team that's a quality team. That's the. I mean, there's more than just one thing missing of this season. But on our you know, leisure right now, that we'd be in a lot better shape if we had just won one or two out of those five. But, you know, that's not the case. And here we go. And I think you're right. I think it comes down to the run game. I really do. I think you're right. They ran 39 freaking times for a buck 48. Now, they didn't run at a high clip because they ran the ball so many times for 0.8. But between Howard and I'm glad you brought up Cohen, too, with the breaking tackles. And he could break tackles, you know, not just out of the run. He can do that with the he's kind of crafty when it comes to catching those passes, too. But they had, what was it? Three guys with seven carries or more. It was Howard, 18 for 63. Trubisky, 10 for 43. And Cohen added some as well with this seven carries. So, you know, I think you're right, man. I think it's the run game because you can look and obviously, you know, turnovers. Turnovers are going to be huge. Both teams had three last time. It just ours counted more because, and that's Cousins, I think the worst pass of the season. You know what I mean? Where it's like, where the what the who? And you're gonna throw it at him. Diggs is sitting there right there. He could sign up. He's got a lawn chair out there. He's so open. He's got lemonade. It's sparkling. Like, dude, throw the ball. Who cares? And I still can't believe he threw that pass. But when you look at it, man, we contain Trubisky throwing 100%. He didn't really do much, but they don't ask him to just a ton, and it was really his feet. And we've talked about that there are times with the running game, if it's the halfback or the quarterback, that once in a while Zim's D, they may not be able to just run it, you know, just down our throats, but they find a way to get these chunk plays on us, especially in the running game, and that's going to be key. And obviously, you know, we got to start, like you said, fast or at least mediocre. You know what I mean? We can't get down. What did we get down? All the way to 14 to zip last time. And we didn't change that until into the, you know, second half. So, yeah, that's what it comes down to, man. I think you hit it on the nose, man, that running game. And we've said it all year. We don't need 175 yards. Just get us to that 80, 90, 100 clip. And we may even, you know, Cook may break one off and really go. But, man, this is a big game. But
and just
Vegas,
no.
Vegas is confident. Vegas is confident with us. They got us a 6-point. We're a 6-point favorite. We're a 6-point favorite,
huh. Aaron. Yeah, well, 6-point favorite, I mean, that is very generous of Vegas to hand that our way. What got me last game, you remember how the Bears came out and they did a lot of misdirection, really threw us for a loop on those first few drives.
Yeah.
We settled in later, but they got us that first bit. Now, we've seen that. We've got them on tape. We know what they like to do against us. So I have a hard time believing that they're going to come out with that same approach, knowing how we shut it down. They might come out fast and do it again. We don't know, but I really feel like they're going to be a little bit more conservative. They've got less to play for, but they've still got stuff to play for. And like you said about, you know, getting the run game going is going to be huge. It will rest up our defense, which is going to need rest because they're going to be running all over the place. And stopping their run is the key. And if you can do that, then you put Trubisky in a passing situation. Now, he's capable of doing that and throwing well, but I like our chances a little bit more with him having to throw. And you can't give up the third and eight runs by Trubisky for first downs. You just can't do that. You can give up maybe one or two, but you've got to somehow find a way to keep him in the pocket and not let him get out and run. I don't know if you want to spy because then
especially
you lose somebody in coverage.
Especially on third down,
and
you know.
Yeah, and you lose somebody in coverage, and then, you know, you've got a guy running open, and that's not going to work. So it's going to be an interesting game plan to see what the Vikings put together, and it's also going to be interesting to see what the Bears put together. It's going to be, you know, one of those games that, you know, will go down in Viking history. We're going to remember this one no matter which way it goes. Now, if Vegas has got us up plus six, yeah, I just feel like that's a little too generous. You might want to take that because I'm going to go with 17-24 going to the Bears on this one. Just hard to look at this game after we saw how they played against the Bears the last time. Probably not going to come out to a fast start because we generally don't do that. Got some problems with Cousins in big games and bright spots. Doesn't seem to rise to the occasion. I certainly hope I'm wrong there. But this is really what we paid him to do, is come in and win a game like this. And I know that the national media and everybody else is going to be harping all week, probably already starting now with the same sentiment that I just put out there. So I hope that he can withstand that, come out and show them that they're wrong. But, you know, the trend seems to be that we'll start a little slow, and hopefully the defense can keep us in there. I trust Zimmer and the defense to really hold the Bears down to not very many points. But, you know, if you give them short fields and turnovers, you know, there's not much you can do about that. So I begrudgingly am going to give the Bears the win here, 24-17.
24-17. Hey, man, 17 points is a lot of points. They'll take that. Well, actually, we did get to 20 last time, now that I think about it. But still, you know, you're right, especially the last chunk of high-profile games, because you could make an argument the first chunk of high-profile games, Cousins was on his shit. You know what I mean? If you look at that Rams game, you look at that on the road at Green Bay is always a big thing, but he went nuts on that one. He played, I think, good enough against the Saints. I still don't think that's his. He doesn't hold that one, the Saints game. I still look at that Saints game and go, man, if we could just bottle up that team right there, and take away Thielen's, you know, fumble that they picked up, scooped up, and they didn't score, but they, you know, changed the field on us. I think they brought it to like the 20 or 30. Yeah, they ended up scoring quickly. And then that Diggs communication, which that was a big six. God, you just look at that. And I know you can't. That's not how football is. And you say, woulda, coulda, shoulda, if only. I understand all that. But it's right there. And when you look at the New England game, it's right there. The Seattle game, we're talking, you know, 6-0 with 13 minutes left. Like, we're right fucking there. And so I think, and maybe this is emotion, maybe this is just, you know, being silly, being a homer, a fanboy. Call me whatever you want, but I'm going with the Vikings. Three and a half points, basically, because it's 6.5, and we know the 3 points for the home team. So another thing is the back against the wall. The back against the wall thing. At home, feeling good. I think they're going to pull it off. I'm not feeling confident. I definitely wouldn't put money on them. But I'm actually going on the other side of it. Now, as far as the breakdown, because I didn't get a chance to break down too much. The Rhodes groin injury, we're gonna have to have him back. Sherrill's also hurt his foot, I believe. I remember seeing that play. He got caught up. I thought he hurt his shoulder right away, because when they showed the clip, his shoulder was all getting thrown around, but it actually was his foot. And then C.J. Ham, and the reason why I bring up him, you know, he hasn't been this great player for us, but, you know, he blocks well, obviously. And I think you're right about that protection and that max protects. You know, we can't just try to run it down their throat. It's not going to work. I mean, who knows? Maybe later in the game, you know, once we've softened it up a little bit, it happens. But like you said, the quick passing, got to get that ball out. We got to get the ball, and we're probably going to have to do a little bit more shotgun than we'd like as far as the, you know, instead of under center. I did like how we rolled them out again. We had a lot of play action again. You know, I was fast-forwarding the game a lot because I was working during the game, a good chunk of it, and so I had to come home and just fast-forward it, like watch the play, fast-forward, watch the play, you know, that type of thing. How serious did they make it seem with Xavier Rhodes? Do you know at this point?
Yeah. Okay, so if you missed the play, it was a what would have been about a 40-yard completion to Golladay. I don't know if Rhodes knew or not if it was a completion or not. It kind of has back. So you didn't really see him hitch or pull up or anything. I think he thought he got beat, and he did the old I'm hurt thing again, although this time Golladay didn't come down with the ball. I expect him to be all right and play. Now, they say it was a groin. He kept holding the side of his leg, so, you know, there's already a little bit of a confusion as to exactly what that injury is. So I'm assuming that sure. Rhodes will be fine. I think he just thought he got beat again. And it was a decently like big play. It wasn't huge as far as the flow of the game was concerned, but, you know, it would have
right.
a reception there probably wouldn't have been the greatest thing. Chris, if I could take you back, I just want to walk you back to you went down the woulda, coulda, shoulda with the Saints. And, you know, obviously there's the Buffalo game. That's another woulda, coulda, shoulda. But the biggest one of all is the big old one behind our record.
All I see is the hurdle when I hear Buffalo. Just hurdle. Oh, God, the hurdle. Go ahead. Sorry.
But if I can walk you back to the second game of the season where we go ahead and take a couple plays to line up a kick against the Green Bay Packers at their place, and we're, what, 20 yards, 20-yard line, 15-yard line, something like that. And just got to kick the ball to win that game. Just kick it through the uprights.
35-yarder.
And, you know, we knew then, and we even said on the show that was going to come back at some point. We didn't know if it would come back in a good way or a bad way. And really, right now, we don't know if it's good or bad either. It's kind of keeping us ahead of the Eagles. But at the same time, you know, win or loss on that game is kind of the whole story of our season. And, you know, being Vikings fans long enough, I think we sort of knew it when that game went down that's how it was going to end up. And here we are, you know, thinking back to a couple of – I think the biggest things were that loss or the tie in Green Bay and the Buffalo loss that's kind of put us in this position. And here we are looking at going over Christmas here. But now, if the Eagles just would have won today, you know, Christmas would have been a lot less stressful. But now we're looking at sweating out a Christmas again, trying to make the playoffs. And it was a tough opponent coming up. And the other teams, their opponents are not that rough. Eagles got the Redskins. And, you know, that seems like a winnable game to them. I don't know if it's home or away. But, you know, here we are again, Minnesota Vikings fans. And, you know, this is what we do.
That's exactly what we do, man. And you're right. Now that we know, you know, where Green Bay is this season, too. You know, so it wasn't you know, they're a rival. It's, you know, going there is going to always be tough to win. But, you know, now that we know, maybe we didn't know that at the beginning of the season. But, man, now we know what kind of team they are. That does sting even more. And to have it right at regulation to miss a 35-fucking-yard field goal, man, it's just – yeah, that and the Bills, man. You said it well. You said it very well. No doubt about it. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. But this time, it's not going to be a coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's not going to be, Aaron. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this.
I hope
as
you're right.
I chuckle. As I chuckle.
I hope you're right, man. I really do.
I don't know. The Vegas thing got me, dude. It's like when I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't know. And Vegas? So yeah, we'll see.
Oh, you know, you could come up with a lot of scenarios where, you know, on a positive note, the Vikings come out. Like I said, if they come out offensively,
we're due in one of these big games. That's for sure. We are due for a win in these.
Come out, get up 10, get up 14, hell, get up 7.
Yeah.
Get ahead in the game, and I'll take my chances from there. But you gotta get that lead. If you get that lead, our defense can do what they do, and we're in a good spot. If you don't do that, and we had to chase these Bears, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, it's true, because then the mental thing takes over, and once our offense gets that mental funk, it's a wrap, dude. You can see it plain as day, and it's just like, all right, then you're like betting how many three and outs are we going to have for the rest of the game. You know what I mean? Like, I think I got an in on this one. I'm calling 4 3 and outs, you know? So, yeah, you're right, man. It doesn't need to be a huge lead either. You're right. Just knowing that you marched down there and put up 10 or 13 points in the first half. You put up 13 in the first half, dude? That I like our chances there, even if it's 13 to 10 or 13 to 13. I just like our chances there, because once we can get that side of the ball going, like you said, our defense will take us home, man. Our defense will take us home. So that about wraps up the Vikings segment of the show. Obviously, it's called the Purple Peak Leaders Podcast, so we keep it heavy Vikings, but we figure there's going to be a portion or a percentage of you that fall, you know, go for football and other sports for that matter, Minnesota theme-wise anyway. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Gophers football recruiting, just really minorly. We're not going to break down every guy. This guy, I'll tell you what, I saw him, you know, we're not Dickie V. We're not, you know, even though that's basketball, but he always had, you know, he always saw him when he was, you know, 9. I saw this kid, he, you know, it's like, dude, no, you didn't, Dickie. But I think you did, actually. So we're gonna break that down a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the other stuff going on Minnesota-wise. At this point in the podcast, the last probably 3 or 4 shows, we've been talking about what we're going to do on a weekly basis after football is done. Now, we're not, you know, the Vikings football season, we're still hoping they get in and they make a run and they go all the way to February, okay? But on a weekly basis, the Purple People Eaters podcast will not be on a weekly basis year-round. However, you know, that first wave of free agency, we'll be talking free agency stuff and free agent, you know, our free agents as well, Anthony Barr, a variety of things that we've already talked about, Sheldon Richardson. We're going to kind of dig into that. So we'll have kind of a pre-free agency, in a sense, the first wave of post-free agency. Then we'll talk about the draft. We'll talk about post-draft. We'll talk about kind of the second wave of free agency and rookie camp and, you know, mini camps and stuff like that, to get us all the way into late July where the season starts over. And we'll definitely be checking in a lot earlier this year on a weekly basis than we did this year. So just so you know, Purple People Eaters podcast-wise. But once football's done for the Vikes, on a weekly basis, we will be doing a Minnesota basketball-themed show. Obviously, Timberwolves and Gophers. From time to time, you know, we may talk a little high school ball about one player or some crazy game or whatever, that type of thing. Or maybe a recruit that the Gophers got. You know, obviously, we got a couple of recruits that we would love to land here in the home of the Vikings, but the Timberwolves and Gophers. So just a heads up there. But as far as recruiting, you know, that first wave last Wednesday signed, I think that he said he had about 2 or 3 scholarships available. So that will always, more than likely, that's going to be, you know, probably like 4-star-ish type guys. They're going to be good guys, the ones that we land from here on out, because now they can really focus in on that. And that's part of what I like about that early signing. You get these guys signed, it's official. Now they can't, you know, waiver. We can't waiver as well. And then you can really hone in on and start attacking. You know, that sounds weird to say you're attacking these 17-year-old kids, but, you know, then you can really zoom in on stuff, especially when you got, you know, a recruiter like P.J. Fleck and his staff as well. So it really matters what ranking system that you use. A lot of local people, especially like Star Trip, their prep stuff, they usually go with that 24/7 sports. You know, last year, it's kind of funny because in their rankings, they have it 33 this year and 38 last year, whereas the other, I think two or three other ranking systems had it flipped, where it's just a little less rankings. But the you could throw the rankings out. Just get in the top 40-ish, and then it comes down to coaching. When you know, one thing I like about Flack, beyond all the row the boat shit, and, you know, what he's done as a head coach at Western Michigan and how he turned it into a legit squad that could compete with the, you know, the higher level teams, no doubt about it. They proved it. I like, Aaron, the amount of three-star dudes we get, because, you know, the five stars are tough to get, and most of them will be really solid for you in college, but it doesn't mean they're going to go first round, you know, in the draft, a five-star. When you get to the fours, you know, you want to pick up as many fours as you can, of course, but the threes and fours, especially maybe the higher ranked threes, honestly, like, the star system can be very misleading. All you have to do is check out, you know, the two deep, and then take a look at, you know, this year's two deep, or right now the two deep at any team for that matter, just not just the Gophers, and then look where they were ranked in the recruiting when they came in. And sometimes the middle of the pack guys are the ones that get on the field first. What I like is so many freaking three-stars, dude. Like, a lot of them. And we talked about the defensive line last week, Aaron. And they went heavy, especially on the interior. We talked about that. But they actually landed these guys. And another level is we talked about that JUCO. I just kind of assumed these last couple of months that the JUCO D-tackle was going to be our best D-tackle recruiting-wise. He was like the third best JUCO defensive tackle. Oklahoma, Georgia, Tennessee, Western Virginia. A lot of teams wanted this dude, JUCO. Boom, 2 years, he's in. You could plug him right in. As it turns out, on most of these rankings, you know, we got two other D tackles that are, you know, going to be freshmen, and one of them is going to be a early enrollee. We got plenty of early enrollees coming in, which is positive. So we have three early D tackles coming in, early enrollees. But that tells you the layers he's putting in. So three out of your top four or top five recruits are defensive tackles. So that's telling me something. Another good news that we got is we now know for certain Tyler Johnson is staying this year. We kind of assumed that, but Flack, you know, they asked him a question straight up, and he said, nah, nobody's leaving. So does that mean for sure? No, not 100%, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to stay. But I liked what I saw, man, in I think tackle, I mean, the secondary, because we had so many, you know, guys, that veteran guys when they came along and they were kind of moving on. But obviously, the defensive line recruiting when he got here was just horrendous when they started talking about who's on scholarship and who he got for depth. And you're like, what? So that really stood out to me when it came to this recruiting class, is the fact that you got three out of your top five recruits at the specific position you need, along with some quality cornerback depth too.
Yeah, I really targeted the defensive line and got to make a correction from last week. I said that we brought in a defensive tackle named Christian Williams. He didn't sign on signing day. I'm sure they're still recruiting him pretty heavy, and it's probably a pretty big battle. I know a lot of SEC schools, including LSU, Georgia, are in that fight too. So he didn't sign. I know he flipped to us a week prior to that, but nonetheless didn't sign the papers. So we're still up in the air on that guy. Now, if we bring this kid in who's a high four-star, that really bolsters up what's an already really, really, really good defensive line class. And like you said, it's a position of need, and they did a good job filling it. There's a couple kids like C.J. Anderson. It's supposed to be a real beast defensive end in there, and the kid named the JUCO kid you, I think you're referring to is Keontae Shad, who's another guy. He might play inside, might play outside, but it's also a pretty big recruit. I thought it was great to go over after some junior college guys in the secondary. Not many. I think they got two. But I think that's enough to add a little experience in there so you're not so young in the secondary. So I thought that was a good decision to make there. And then they're just refilling the linebacker depth. And like you said earlier, it's the layers. It's the depth. That's what you need to see start to fill in. Three-star guys, you get as many of those and coach them up as you can. You know, you want to – I really think that the ceiling of this year's class, or let me rephrase that, the floor of this year's class is a little bit higher than the floor of last year's class. And so you just want to continue to out-recruit yourself and get better and better. You know, it's going to be hard to wait over this summer to see that team get going again. I hope they play well Tuesday or Wednesday in the Quick Lane Bowl. But, you know, in the end, that really doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. And it's great to know that Tyler Johnson will be around. I think he needed to come back. I think if he would have came out this year, he'd been, you know, fifth to seventh round draft pick, maybe even a little higher, but not much higher. I think next year he's got a chance to go in the first two rounds if he stays healthy and continues to improve. So I think that was a good decision on his part, as well as a great eventuality for the Gopher football program. And, you know, they're playing Georgia Tech here in the Quick Lane Bowl. It'll be nice to see them go up against Georgia Tech. They run that triple option, which we'll see again in the non-conference next year with Georgia State, who will come up and run the same offense. So they're getting a good look at that in a game that really doesn't matter. I hope the Gophers win that one. Kind of hard to say who I think is going to win that one. I feel like the Gophers will win by a small margin, something like 32-28, something like that. I just feel like the Big Ten and – the linemen we have, even though we don't have the greatest linemen here, but the Big Ten linemen will kind of end up dominating the fronts in that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, the only kicker there is Paul Johnson, who's been, you know, the guy when it comes to that style of offense for a long, long time. I still can't believe, Aaron, he had Kelvin Johnson. He had Kelvin Johnson, dude. Like, that's crazy. They somehow got that dude on campus. Said, hey, dude, about five targets a game. That's all we're giving you. Can you block? Okay, good. Get in. Like, it's just crazy. Like, they got to do some sort of – I mean, I like it. They got to do some follow-up on that because how much money did they put out to get his ass to come to a non-throwing team? It blows me away. But anyway – Yeah.
And to put up numbers.
Anyway, the reason why I brought him up is because it's his last game as a head coach there. And so that's always tough to deal with. It's always a weird thing, especially in the bowl season, win one for the Gipper. You know, the whole nine. I don't know. I'm not really sure exactly how that's going. But we do have a variety of linebackers. That is a depth of ours. And that's pretty key. It's really just staying in. You know, this is your lane. Anything that comes through here, you gotta really read the reads. You know, you gotta stay home. You cannot get lost. You cannot go make a play. Oh, I see him make a play. No, he doesn't have the ball. Oh, I let that go. It's always a tough one, man. But the fact that we get this extended time rather than playing him a week later, that's huge, man. That's really huge.
Yeah, that's odd. You know, I didn't think about the Kelvin Johnson thing, and that is kind of strange. Like, and how did Kelvin put up those numbers onto that offense? Is, you know, obviously you can't cover the guy. I imagine college guys trying to cover Kelvin Johnson. I'm sure that that presented its own problems for defenses. But yeah, he put up big numbers, first round draft out of that offense. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and the quarterback, I can't remember his name right now. I think it was number 13. He was just like, it was just kind of like, just throw it to him. I'm here to run, dude. They recruited me to run, so I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to chuck it to this tall dude. He'll catch it. And that's basically what it was. He's still, like you said, putting up those numbers in that system and with that quarterback. It was pretty impressive. But keeping it Gophers, Gopher basketball, you know, had a game, one game, and now they have a game the 30th. We have another break, and then should be a gimme. But you never know, I suppose. But, yeah, we're going to probably be 11-2 or 10-2 right now playing who the hell is it? Oh, you know, oh no, Mount St. Mary's, but not that Mount St. Mary's on the West. I don't think they're the West Coast. I think that's the East Coast one, if I remember correctly. Because they're actually pretty good on the other side. But no, that's not that program. That's on the East. So we should be 11-2. Should be 11-2, and then the 3rd of January. We get right back into it. We play at Wisconsin, come home with Maryland and Rutgers and Illinois. So the fact that we had, you know, we already got Ohio State and Nebraska 1-1. We're sitting at 1-1 in the conference. A tough road game, but we got some winnable games here until it really starts to get heavy. Late in January, Michigan, who's all the way up to number 4, Iowa, Purdue, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Indiana, Nebraska again, Michigan. Dude, it's a rough, rough one down the stretch. I will say this. This is basically what I'm going to say because there's not a whole lot new there, obviously. We've talked about Curry. It'll be nice to get Curry back as a big man, take some pressure off the youngster. But also, Washington now in back-to-back games, and even probably 3 to 5 games-ish, he's been playing better, and he had another, I think, 10-assist game coming off that, you know, I think his first double-double. He had a bunch of assists that other game. So that's key, man. We're going to need him to be that spark off the bench as far as that goes. And then Timberwolves, I'll let you wrap it up. But Timberwolves came home off of that horrible – I mean, all year long we've been just garbage on the road. As far as winning, now there was a couple of those games that they played well in, and I don't mind losing to the Warriors on the road. You know, I don't mind some of these road games losing, but you got to win some, and then you come home, and it's like the instant you get home, you're up by 30 at half. Like, what the hell is what is this? And sure, you know, Covington's injury. He's now getting back into form. He's not all the way back, but he's getting close. That obviously the intensity and just what he brings there, communication, whatever you want to say, he's been hurting us, no doubt about it. That's been hurting us. But just to go right back on the road. Now the last game that they lost in overtime, real last second bucket to force it to overtime. So that was a bummer, but they just got to find their way to steady and try to climb back up to 500 here soon.
Yeah, Timberwolves are they're an enigma, and you know, I still see a lack of solid, consistent half court defense, and I know that's a league wide problem, but you know, if you're going to win with the roster we have, you're going to need to really focus on that, and I'm sure that Thibodeau is in their ear constantly. And you know, it's weird to think that maybe Towns and Wiggins, you know, in their AAU experience and even at Kentucky for Towns, maybe never really had to play, you know, stop defense. And I was just thinking to myself the other day about, you know, back when we were growing up, back in my day, get off my lawn, but no, when we were watching guys play in the early 90s and in the late 90s, that, you know, when a guy's put up a jump shot, you kind of expected it to go in. And that's no longer the case in the league. And I just, you know, I had that weird random thought about that and what's happened to the game, et cetera. But I think if the Wolves continue to gel in this new incarnation that they have, the new players and so on, and try to find something that they can go to every game offensively and play good defense, I think that they can hang around 500 all year and possibly make the playoffs. If they don't play defense, there's no shot of them making the playoffs. I don't care if it's road or home or where it is. They're going to need defense to do anything on this team, and the quicker they figure that out, the better off they're going to be. Gopher basketball is going to be a really interesting season. It's really time for Patino to show what he can do coaching-wise. You're right about Washington coming off the bench. I think Pitino's really handled him well. Whatever he said to bring on these games of high assists, low turnovers, that's really what you want out of Washington. You know, yeah, you want him to score, but maybe make that, you know, a third priority and keep him focused on running the team, getting him into good sets, playing good defense, making assists, and reducing your turnovers. I think that's all you need. And he's got the rest physical gifts and everything else that you're going to need to be a good Big Ten point guard. And I think he's on his way to doing that. I think it's been a little slow coming on, but I think he's starting to figure it out slowly. And he's going to need to, because this stretch, like you pointed out, is going to be no fun coming through January. And you're going through big squad after big squad after big squad. You just hope that you can stay healthy. And I think if you can stay healthy, we're really going to be able to see what Pitino can do as far as coaching and in-game work and stuff like that. We really haven't seen it. He's had injured teams, and he's had less talent. Now he's got talent, although it's young. Yep. And now he's got talent, although it's young.
2 years ago, that one season, and also that NIT run, I thought we saw his coaching. That's it, though. Otherwise,
yeah, and if you can put that together, I think we got a chance to really surprise a lot of people against Michigan and maybe Michigan State and stuff. You know, those will be tough games, but it'll be interesting to see against teams like Iowa and Purdue and those type of teams,
right,
how well we play and what kind of way we attack them. I think that'll be really interesting. So I'm excited to see them get this January run started. Mount St. Mary's will be a bit of a jog, hopefully. And then they need to really get down to business, because that's the heart of the Big Ten schedule coming up. And I expect them to do well. I expect this to be a tournament team. I just want to see how it comes together.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we really haven't. That's a good point. I mean, just that, you know, that season where we got the fifth seed, I thought we really started to see where we won, like, was it 6 or 8 in a row? It was something we hadn't done in the, you know, since the season that didn't count, even though it counted. But I mean, you're right. And then, like I said, the last, like, probably 7 games or something of that his first year, when they went on a nice little run and beat some teams that they kept, like, they were underdogs on the road and stuff like that. So I actually, like that, saw some coaching on him where it's like game by game, matchup by matchup, and I saw his potential there. We obviously know he can recruit. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go. I like the way the schedule starts. Maybe not. I mean, we're already 1-1, of course, but at Wisconsin, that's not a great way to start. But as far as those games after, those 5-6 games I listed, you're like, okay, we gotta take advantage of those games. I'm not saying we gotta win every single one of those, but we have to win a bunch of them, because then I named the other games and it was like, whoo, that's a hell of a stretch down there. Usually it's the opposite. The first 5-6 games are just, you know, just horrible. Just like, really, dude? This is murderer's row in the Big Ten, but it seems like we're closing with that. But we'll see. Injuries, style of play, you know, styles make fights, just like they say in boxing. It's the same difference in sports in a lot of ways. But, yeah, just to kind of takes on this stuff and to kind of prep you for what's next as far as the Minnesota-themed basketball show that we got coming after. But that's after, man. The Purple People Eaters podcast is what it's all about right now. Any last words there, sir?
No, man. I just want to wish you and yours a happy holidays, as well as all the listeners, and hope they enjoy their Christmas time. And let's get out there and try to beat the Bears on Sunday.
That's what it's all about. Skol Vikes, and right back at you, Aaron. Happy holidays, and everyone be safe, but, you know, try to have some fun. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, when, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival.